And I feel like this has just been a fantastic month of growing and people surrendering to Christ, and it's been so exciting. And we have yet another, what?
Baptism!
Tonight. We're going to be baptizing freshman Maddie. She was in my house a little while, beginning of the year, freshman dinner. I remember seeing this quiet girl on the couch. And quiet girl showed up in my office and wasn't so quiet. She's got a story that you need to hear. And I hope and pray that you could all make it tonight to hear her story back at the campus house. The other thing that we do in this place that's been exciting is we have reproduced ourselves. And this ministry has planted 3 campus ministries in the Philippines. And these KFC buckets we're going to pass right now, the proceeds, any money that gets in there tonight is going to go directly to our 3 ministries there. If you're visiting tonight, this isn't for you, but it's for this body. So you can go ahead and pass this. Story was told of a man who was needing to hire a chauffeur. He had 3 guys apply for the job. He said, there's no other way to really be fair about it than to give them a tryout. So he said, there's this place I know up on this ledge, this mountain, where there's this huge cliff, and there's this curve that goes around. There's no guardrail. And he says, I'd like to see your skill level. And so I'm going to determine who I hire based upon how fast and how close you will be to that edge. The first guy, so, well, I'm pretty experienced, and he felt pretty confident about himself, and he looked it over, and he looked at the how tight of a curve it would be, and he said, I think I can take that at about 50 miles an hour. And he does. He takes it at 50 miles an hour, and he gets to within 1 foot of the edge. Next guy comes up. He's very experienced. He's been doing this a long time. So I can get closer than that. I can go faster than that. And sure enough, he goes 60 miles an hour. And his squeals squawk a little bit, but he gets 8 inches from the edge. And the third guy's like, dude, these guys are in a different category than me. I'm very inexperienced. He was a little scared. But he decided to go for it anyway. And he took the curve at 20 miles an hour and was 6 feet from the edge. Not very impressive. But who would you hire? I'd hire the third guy. For some reason, in our culture, we are baited to the edge. And then we mock people when they fall off the edge. For some reason, it's like it's not a good story unless I can talk about how many inches from the edge I got and still made it clean. I had a friend of mine in college, he was a roommate of mine, and his brother was a heavy gambler. And he was a Steeler fan, so I was a Steeler fan. I was like, all right, this is cool. At least he's betting on the Steelers. I mean, that's good stuff. And I find out later that he's putting down like $4,000 on a game. And I was like, man, is that, I mean, and then I hear that he's winning. And for some reason, hearing that story, I was like, ooh, I don't know, that sounds really risky. Oh, he won. Cool. That was cool. That was very, very cool. I don't know all the circumstances behind it, but I know that years later, this guy's brother committed suicide. And as soon as he did, everyone's like, I thought he had a problem. Man, they just, and even after death, that doesn't escape the mocking that takes place. You've seen that? I was in high school, and not in a very Christian state, I might add. Was out with some buddies of mine, drank more beer than I'll even tell you, but it was more than you probably would think. We had beer cans all over this car of mine, empty. I may have even partaken in some herbal substances that evening as well. And we're driving home. It's 3 a.m. And I have this car that has like a manual shift, right? But it used to be an automatic. And so for some reason when this happened, I needed to flip a switch to put on my reverse lights. This is kind of a manual deal too. So it's a ghettoed up car. It was cool. And I had my reverse lights on going down the highway. So that doesn't look real good. And so this police officer pulls me over. And I am telling you, I am not going to pass any tests that this man is going to offer me. Three of us are sitting in the front seat. Beer cans everywhere. And he comes up, and I said, the last words I told my buddies, let me do the talk. Because I really knew what I was going to say, right? And the police officer says, you've been drinking tonight? Nope. Okay. We were. Got your seatbelts on? Yep. None of us did. You got your reverse lights on? Oh, sorry, sir. Flip them off. Where are you heading? The only true statement. Blake's house. It's within visual sight. It's like two blocks away. I can see it from here. You have a good night. Boy, the next day, I had a story to tell, man. We got so close to the edge of that. And I was like a hero. High school? Oh, dude, that was awesome. Awesome story. Jesse wasn't so lucky. Jesse, that same week, I'm confident, was in a safer condition than I was. Got a DUI. Everybody's like, that's horrible. They mock him. He fell off the edge. I always knew he had a drinking problem. Jesse. Let's put his name in the paper and mock him all the more. DUI. Why do we do that? Sex. Oh my goodness, is there a temptation? And we've got all kinds of things right along here. It's like, come on, visit. And we all get to the edge, and we're like, this looks fun, and we're all playing here, and it's like, you know, there's all these sexual temptations. It doesn't matter if you're selling pizza or car oil. I mean, it's sex sells, right? And so we get to the edge, and we're just like all excited about this, and boom, some guy who's married ends up falling, gets in some affair. And what's our advice? Well, I know I'm going to tell that wife. I'm going to tell that wife that marital unfaithfulness is the only grounds for divorce. And I think I'm going to suggest that she get a divorce because he was unfaithful. And albeit if my kids go play at their house anymore, I can't trust them. Can't trust him. Seems like it'd just be a little safer if we were, I don't know, not on the very edge. And yet, credit card companies, everyone's saying, come on to the edge, right? Here, this is where you're supposed to live. God cares about us. I've come to learn this. And all these laws that are in the Old Testament, they're not put there so that he confines you in this little box so that you don't get to enjoy any of life. That's not God's plan. That's not his purpose. His purpose is to put up what I would call a guardrail. And we're going to enter into a series for the next 3 weeks called Guardrails. And guardrails are not something that is going to be put up by culture. It's not going to be put up by the church. It's not going to be put up by anybody except for you. You have the opportunity of establishing your own guardrails in your life. Now, I'm going to warn you, Guardrails are not on the edge. Guardrails are always placed in the safe zone so that when you bump up against it, your conscience is affected and you feel bad here to keep you from falling off here. But I'm going to warn you, your life, our life, all of culture says, this is where we live. And God's saying, I wonder what it would look like if we drove our car 6 feet from the edge instead of 8 inches. That's going to be my challenge for you. And I don't know what your guardrail is. I'm going to offer some suggestions later in this, and you're going to say, man, that seems awfully strict. Well, it's a guardrail. It's a guardrail. And it's going to get more strict probably next week too, so buckle up. Tonight's topic, tonight's area that I want us to be sensitive to is the area of friendship, the area of relationship. Now, this could be a friendship that's like, I don't know, buddy in the dorm, or this might be as personal as a fiancé. I don't know what it might be for you. But I do know this, that what we talked about a little bit week one, you are who you're with. And we know this. And if our friends are all out here and we're out here with them, it's just a matter of time before somebody falls. And it's important for us to recognize the characteristics in our friends so that we're aware of how they might be enticing us beyond where we'd like to be. So we got a verse. It's a great verse. I love this verse. Proverbs 13:20. It says, walk with the wise and become wise. That's the first part of the verse. The first part of this verse is a promise. If you walk with wise people, then you will become wise. A characteristic of a wise person is this. They see life as if it is connected to itself in all facets. You know, a lot of people think, well, I got my church life, I got my school life, I got my work life, I got my family life. But I don't see those as really being connected. A wise person sees those as connected. A fool would probably disconnect all of those things, and they do certain things with these people, certain things with these people, and their conscience isn't bothered by overlap at all. And as a matter of fact, they do not see how your activity on Thursday and Friday night affects your test on Tuesday morning. But a wise person does. You walk with the wise, you're going to become wise. It's catchy. It's like you catch it. It wears off from their pores into you. Somehow, wisdom is caught. The second part of the verse, don't get mistaken. This is not a promise. For the company of fools will eventually suffer harm. That's a warning. First part, promise. Second part, warning. It doesn't say if you hang out with fools, you'll be a fool. No. You can stay very wise. You can stay very much aware of personal conviction. And no matter how foolish your friends are, doesn't mean that you're going to adopt their way of thinking. And I hear that all the time. Like, yeah, friends are kind of idiots. But I don't really believe what they believe. So don't worry about it. Well, I am. I am because you're with them. And you might not believe that you might not believe the same things that they do about the way they're going to handle money or the way they're going to drive on Friday night. You might not believe it at all. And I tell you, this is where I'm worried about my own kids. I think they've got a pretty wise way about them. But when you're hanging out on the edge with people that are fools, somebody's going to get pushed over. And this is the warning. The warning is this: the company of fools will eventually suffer harm. Well, I've been fine up to this point. Well, you just wait. Just wait. This here is a particularly tight corner. And I've been hanging out in this corner for a long time. This is the college corner. I've been sitting here for 15 years. And I have seen lots of college students come around this bend, oblivious as to how dangerous a fall that is. And I've been kind of oblivious with them for many years. And be like, yeah, I know, honey. You know, my wife would she'd tell me about how dangerous it seems that they're acting. And be like, oh, they're good kids. Don't worry about it. Man, I have seen students from this ministry end up in divorce. Some of them even ended up dead, largely because of the company that they kept. Not because of what they believed in their heart, but because of the company that they were with. I think it's important that we make sure that we understand how dangerous of a corner this is. Because after you see, like, five sections of people come through here like I have, after a while, I'm like, stop. Please. It's dangerous. Really. The edge of this cliff really has serious consequences to it. When you fall, you get hurt. Majorly. The things that you are dreaming about today, the families that you envision, are affected drastically by those who fall off the edge. So please listen. I feel as if I might be God's spokesman in this because I can't imagine how many times he has seen the same thing. Fools are not normally people that just don't get it. A lot of fools understand right from wrong. And I think sometimes when I use the word fool, we're kind of picturing some guy that has like an IQ of 8, and he's kind of like, I just didn't know anything. I just don't understand. And that's not a fool. A fool is this. A fool, aside from the fact that they see life as isolated and not connected, that's one characteristic. The other characteristic is this. They know right from wrong, but they just don't care. They just don't care. And why is that so attractive? Like, my kids are hitting junior high and they're like, oh, and this one boy is so cute and he just doesn't care. It's just really cool. It's like, nah. He's cute, okay? I know that. That's what you're excited about. It's not that he's, but you know, for some reason we think he just doesn't care is a good, it's kind of a cool quality, you know? Let me tell you, if they don't care about their life, they're not going to care about your life. If they don't care about their finances, they're not going to care about your finances. If they don't care about their reputation, they're not going to care about your reputation. If they don't care about their relationships, they're not going to care about your relationships. And there are people, and you know who they are, and here's the thing. The beginning of this talk, this concept, this verse that we've been sharing, yeah, it makes sense to us, but at this point in the sermon, they are just the people that you are thinking about are just kind of like cloudy, and there's like a face, but you can't really make out the face yet. Everything's kind of in a fog. And my prayer is this, that as we move through this talk, faces would begin to crystallize for you, that you'd begin to see the faces that you know are dangerous for you, the ones that you know you need to have a conversation with. That's my prayer. So, I'm going to list these off real quick. It's just a list tonight. It's kind of interesting. I haven't really, usually I kind of follow a story or some kind of a text. And tonight, I've made up some lists. And I got to tell you, a lot of these lists I've stolen from Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley did this sermon about relationship, or about this very concept of guardrails, and I'm going to just give him credit for just about everything I'm sharing tonight. It was a very, very humbling sermon for me to hear, and so I don't know how to say it any better, so I'm going to give him credit for tonight. Well, let's just make before we throw that up, this is not biblical. This is just what I would consider a guardrail for me. And I'm gonna heavily suggest that it's a guardrail for you. And you know, I'd like to go scripture and verse and say, see, this is exactly what the guardrail needs to be, but it's life's kind of messy. And so what we need to do is we need to establish, I'm just going to remind you of what we're after here. We're establishing a guardrail that is yours. Up to this point, we've only had maybe a red line that we just so easily can walk over, and we don't feel any differently by walking over that line than we did before we were on that line. And we just step over it, and it doesn't bother our conscience at all. And yet we kind of know that there's a dangerous road because, you know, we've got these ads that say, drink responsibly. Oh, okay. That's right about, I don't know where it's at. And we go to the gambling casino, knowing to stop before you start. Okay, cool. Here? I don't know. And we just step over these. There's nothing that is bumping up against your conscience. And so here's how we establish a conscience. Here's how we establish a guardrail, is that we need to prayerfully go to the Lord and say, God, I want to be bothered. I want to be bothered when I cross this line. Please help me to establish some things in my life that show me as a red flag, kind of as a buzzer will go off that says, I'm bumping up against a danger zone. And that's got to be from the conscience. And so these are suggestions, okay? Suggestion number one. Your conscience should light up when your core group is not moving in the direction that you want to go. I have been told that if you really want the kind of lifelong partner that you want for marriage, start running after God with everything that you've got, and then look to your left and look to your right. See who's running the same course you're running. That's what you want, to be moving in the same direction. You want your core group to be establishing that with you. You want that. And if that core group is someone that you really aren't going in the same direction with, let that be kind of a light in your conscience. Some things that as a Christian you should be pursuing, I think, would be the fruit of the Spirit. Kindness and goodness and self-control are three of those fruits. Kindness, goodness, and self-control. The other ones are good too, but I'm kind of looking at those as maybe a marker that might be like, huh, is my group really concerned with those things? Next, when you hear that you are not yourself when you are with them. Did you ever have your mom say that? You know, I had my mom always telling me that. I'd come home, or these people would come over, these friends would come over, and she'd go, Peter. That's what she calls me. Hate it. Peter, you know you're just not the same person when you're around them. And I don't like it one bit. And you probably had your parents say that, and you probably hated it as much as I did, but you know they're usually right. We're a little bit different when we're around certain people, and it's just not who we are. A question I added to that very one, it's not on the list up there, is do you share in celebrating the same things, do they share in celebrating the things that are important to you? Or are you always having to celebrate their things? Number three, your conscience should light up when you feel pressure to consider something that you have never considered before. Your conscience should just be like, oh my gosh, red flag, red flag, red flag. I'm considering crossing a line of morality that I've never crossed before. Lastly, your conscience should light up when you say, I'll go, but I won't participate. Oh, this isn't last. There's one more after this. When you say, I'll go, but I won't participate, conscience should be lighting up. And the last one is this. When you hope that the people you care about don't find out where you have been. And I just realized that we have started this iTunes thing where we're able to record our sermons and they're going to be on iTunes. And I just realized as I'm doing the sermon, my mom's going to actually hear some of the story that I just shared earlier. Yeah. Herbal substances. That is number five, right? That is an example of people I care about. Yeah, you get that one. So what are we going to do about these people in our life? Just turn our back on everybody that's just not perfect? Yeah, that sounds like a good plan. Just kind of lock ourselves away and, I don't know, play Bible Pictionary the rest of our life? No, I think God's got you here for a reason. And I think that all people are put in our lives to invest in and to have some kind of a relationship with and to be active with and to participate. But I know this principle is true, that you need to stay a safe distance from some people. And you need to have a core group that's going in the direction that you want to go. And you can find that. You might have to look, but you can find that. And for those people that are here, oh man, they're a lot of fun, aren't they? These are fun people. You can't deny that. I think we need to get comfortable with a phrase. And I think it needs to start with, as for me, I'm not judging you guys. I'm not judging where you're at. But as for me, I just made a promise to myself and to the Lord that I'm going to, well, I'd be honest with you, I just know myself well enough. I don't know how you balance there. And I think I'd fall. And so I hope you can respect this distance that I have to make. And it's not anything against you by any means. It's just the fact that I know myself well enough that I have to have a guardrail. People respect that. People do. They might tease you at first. People respect that. See, if you don't start with that phrase and all you say is, no, no thanks, well, now they begin to read into things and they think that it's you. You think that you're judging them. And that's not it at all. The reality is that you need to have a safe distance for you. And here's the other reality. Some of the most compassionate things you could possibly do for your friend is to stay a safe distance. Because it is inevitable. I am telling you, it is inevitable. They're going to fall. There's going to be falls. And I am telling you, as sure as I'm standing here, that the people that they reach out for help to are not other people on the edge. They're going to reach out to you. Some of the most powerful ministry opportunities in your future will be there because you are staying a safe distance. And you just got to get comfortable with sharing that from your heart to say, hey, as for me, this is where I need to stand. And if they can't respect that, you don't want them as a friend. Here's what I want to end with tonight. We don't have another song. We're gonna take 60 seconds. We're gonna take a full minute. And we're gonna be quiet before the Lord. And we're gonna ask him to reveal faces. I think by now some faces are coming clear to you. As we've gone over that list, I think you're thinking, oh yeah, there's that. Oh yeah, there was that person. And so please don't hear me by saying that this is an easy thing. And the reality is this, that every situation is a little bit different and a little bit complex. And I am sure that there is somebody that could come up to me after this is over and say, what do I do with this situation? And I probably say, I don't know. But I know the principle's true. And so is it complicated? Yeah, it potentially could be very complicated. But the dangers are too real. And we really need to be proactive in this. Because people who are idle are just one step away. And I know that there are some people in your lives that you know aren't right for you. I know that that's the situation in this room. There are some people in some of your life, you know this, you're like, dang it, I wish I wouldn't have showed up tonight. But I am telling you that the pain that is around the corner for you, and probably not the so far future. I'm thinking maybe April. A lot of the stuff and the ramifications of what you're living and who you're living with is really going to hit the fan. And there's going to be financial stresses, and they're going to owe you money, and you're not getting it back, and now there's tension, and then there's a relationship, and there's some girl involved on the side, and you're like, gosh, I wish I wasn't in this thing. This is such a stressful deal. And then in that moment you'll think, man, I wish I could go back to that Monday night when Pete gave me 1 minute to look at a verse on the screen and to handle this the way I should have handled it then. I guarantee that you would want to go back to this very spot. So I don't know what it is, I don't know exactly who it is, and I don't know exactly what the conversation has to be, but I'm going to let all that kind of sort out as we all look at this verse and talk to the Lord for the next 60 seconds. God, you love people. You love us greatly. You love us enough that you want to protect us. You want us to have that conscience built into our system. But God, you love everybody. You love the people that have no idea what we're talking about tonight. The people who are just dancing on the edge, don't know any better. God, I know that the most compassionate thing we can do for them is to maybe be an example for them, to talk about how we need to make the stand, and that might just be the very thing that causes them to follow in our footsteps. I ask that you just give us the courage that we need to talk about the things. We've been very vague about things tonight. We've been vague about specifics of here and there and what the topics might be of tension. But I know that you are not a God that's vague, and that you may have filled in some of those gaps. And I trust in those last few moments that you have done something in our hearts to react and respond to very concretely. That your name would be glorified through this whole process. I pray, God, that many, many people would come to know your saving name through this whole process of being people that stand up for your name and stand up for truth and stand up for protection. So with that, we love you, we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, love you guys, and so excited to join with you in just a few minutes over at the campus house. You really want to hear Maddie's testimony. All right, see you.